Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I'm Bobby Marcheso, and you're listening to Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Welcome once again to the show. It's that week, that time again. Wonderful show for you this evening. Linda Howe founded the Center for Akashic Studies with the intention of using the Akashic Records for personal empowerment, consciousness development, expanded spiritual awareness. All of that going to be coming up. Don't forget, in the second half of the show, then, we'll also be taking your phone calls from our panel of experts, my co-hosts, that will be answering your questions. Just so you know, however, for those of you, because sometimes we get guests on the show that you want to come in and ask them a question or get a reading from them. Just so you know, we're not doing that with tonight's guest. Linda Howe will be telling us anything and everything about Akashic Records. However, we won't be doing readings with her. Again, just to kind of put that out there. But before we get started, let's welcome some of my co-hosts. We've got first Maureen. Hello, Maureen.
Maureen is so cute.
Maureen.
I know a couple people.
I want more Maureen. I just can't get enough. How are you, love?
And I got choked up on that one. No, I got choked up for a minute. Sorry. There's a very few people that have called me. You usually call me Maureen, which is not my name, but Marini is very cute. Okay, thank you, Bobby. I am fine, thank you. And what do?
I did not ask yet, but hang on. And Maureen, would you tell us what you do this evening, please?
I thought you were going to ask me that.
I just did.
I'm an empath. I am empathic.
Yeah, I feel this.
I can feel it. And I'm also a tarot into I'm a clairvoyant. You know what? I have it going on.
What the hell do you do, Maureen? Can you tell us?
I do it all, but I love my work. And I do help people make choices that would be best for them. Every negative can be a positive. And I also have a very good sense of humor about life, as we should all, because that's how we'll get through this. And I work at PsychicAccess.com with the rest of my wonderful soul.
Very good. You know, I like how you said that everything's positive. Do you ever get those people who are afraid to have readings with us because they're like, well, I'm scared of what you're going to say? Like we're doom and gloom.
It's the movies and bad experience. Yeah. And then I say, well, I manipulate people. That's what I do. I'm joking. No, there you have it. Thank you,
Bob. All right. Our next co-host is Lady Brenda. Hi, Miss Brenda. How are you?
Oh, I'm just fabulous tonight. I'm just waiting for the show because I'm very interested in the Akashic Records.
Do you? What is your interest in this? Do you work with the records?
Well, in my tradition, yes, we do. And we go to what we call the halls of learning and we access the information. But I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it away.
No, I shall not.
We have two hours yet we have to fill. Don't.
That's right. I'm not going to give it away because I feel that Linda's probably the expert on this. But I'm looking forward to it.
Well, tell us what it is that you do here at Psychic Access.
Well, I work for PsychicAccess.com, and I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I'm kind of traditional in my approach. I use the crystal ball, palms, and tarot. I don't do palms, obviously, on the phone, but that is one of the skills that I have.
Very good. Okay. Well, looking forward to it, and we'll put those skills to use here in the second
good
half.
Good use.
Very good use. Nothing negative. Mm-hmm. And then finally, our last co-host with me is Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Bobby. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
Oh, rather well. Old chap.
Old bean. It's good to hear from you this evening. What's going on? You also looking forward to tonight's show, I would assume?
I am very interested in the Akashic Records.
Very awesome. And then tell us what you do here at Psychic Access.
I'm a psychic medium. So I...
Well, my primary, enough said.
Well, my primary focus is to... Or my greatest passion is to connect with spirit, to connect with people who have transitioned to the other side, and to connect with guides. As you
it's
know,
an amazing feeling, isn't psychic. It?
Yes, absolutely.
It's tough to describe.
There's nothing like speaking with somebody who feels that they have lost somebody and proving to them that they haven't.
Yeah.
It feels good. It's healing. And I love my work.
Yeah, it's healing on both accounts. I mean, I think as one person heals, we all do. And it kind of comes back as we are doing it as well. It's kind of like Reiki. You know what I mean? Everything's kind of cyclical. And I think it really comes back to us. And I love that part of the feeling as well. Very good, Steve. All right. Thank you, sir. So it's now time, without further ado. Now, Linda is a dynamic speaker. She's an engaging author, a gifted teacher, has an international following of students from every walk of life. We're talking artists, writers, business professionals, psychiatrists, therapists, mystics, healers, and most of all, she's committed to empowering her students to recognize the light that's within us all. And with this greater awareness of the truth, her students are more successful at living lives that demonstrate the universal goodness of the human soul. Linda Howe is the founder and director of the Center for Akashic Studies, and she's the leading expert in the field of Akashic Studies. She's the author of the award-winning breakthrough book and 6-CD audio set entitled How to Read the Akashic Records. Her second book and 6-CD audio set is Healing Through the Akashic Records, Using the Power of Sacred Wounds to Discover Your Soul's Perfection. You can just go to Linda Howe. Her last name is spelled H-O-W-E, lindahowe.com, to find out more. And here she is. Linda, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. And I just, what a generous introduction. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I can't even tell you, you really pulled me out of a spot being the new guy on the show here, and you were scheduled, and I called you up at the last minute and asked you if you could come on, and you were wonderful to accept. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Of course.
So I have so many questions because naturally as I do this, there's so many different facets to the whole psychic, intuitive, empathic, empowering, like we said earlier, spiritual realm. There's so many facets to this. And one of the many terms that I've heard throughout my career has been the Akashic Records. And can we just start basic and just let me know first off, what is the Akashic Records?
Yes. This is, you know, the beginning is always the best place to start. So
good.
It is, right? Right. So here's
what it is. Totally agree.
Okay. The Akashic Record is a vibrational archive of every soul and its journey. Okay?
Okay.
Everyone's in it. This is good. Each record, like your records, my records, every set of records has two components. It has the fixed, right? It's fixed like for all eternity, the blueprint of your soul. It's really, okay. it's the etching. It's like a fingerprint, only it's a soul print of who you are as a soul. And what travels along with that is a catalog of the lifetimes you live within which you wake up. Right? You come to know what that blueprint is and who you are at the core of your being. And then the challenge is to be that person in the world, to lead a consciously soul-led life. So that's what we're talking about here. It really is. What's very interesting to me is the record is a soul-level dimension of consciousness. Okay, right. So that's what, so it lives at the level of the soul because it is the record of the soul. All right, so everybody has the potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
To access their own records. which is very, very exciting. This is unprecedented in human history. It is just now at this time that we're awakening to this possibility and potential. Very, very exciting. The word itself, Akasha, now I know the first time I heard this word, it went through me. I was so moved by the sound of the word. And listen, I'm from Chicago. What do I know from Akashic? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Talk that way here. But anyway, but Akashic, like, what's that? Right. But I knew, I mean, you can even feel it. I can still, you know, it's almost like a wave moves through me as I speak the word Akasha.
Yeah, it has a certain vibration to it, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? You can feel it, right? And yeah. What it is, Akasha is a Sanskrit word. What it means is primary substance, that from which all things are formed. So what we're talking about is the essential life force before we get our hands on it, right? With our,
right.
I mean, not that that's bad, but that's what it's really the raw material. So that's what the record is. Does this make sense?
It makes total sense, but it starts now. Did you say it starts at the moment that we're born, or the moment that is this of our entire soul of journey?
No. This is the
prior
story. Okay, this is great. This is fascinating to me. Let me tell you what the it is. I mean, what could be more interesting than who we are, right?
Of course, absolutely.
Yes. I mean, that's what got us here. But anyway, that's another story. But here's what it is. The record is the story of the soul's journey through space and time and the human experience.
Of all time.
Okay, right. So it's the story. I mean, there is one story that we live, right? As a soul traveling through space and time, we have a variety of many countless incarnations through which our awareness expands, right? That's the journey of the soul through time.
Right.
And so what happens is we open up the record. Like if I open my records, you open your records. We always start in the present because that's really the only place where we have any access, any power, any authority, anything is now, of course. And so we
right.
start with the moment. And once we move from an ordinary state of awareness, which is what we have right now, into an extraordinary state of awareness, which is the dimension of the record, time as we know it collapses, okay? And so the past, the present, and the future all become equally accessible, you see.
Interesting. And why would you, if so now, I'm used to dealing in the now and moving forward from that moment. Is there a greater understanding or something that we can learn by looking at past records that you believe in?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my gosh. I must have hit something there, Linda.
Please, all right, you asked the right question. Okay, so listen, this is how this goes. Okay, so let's say in my life, I have an issue. Let's say I have an issue with my sister, okay?
Okay.
And for some reason, I mean, we love each other, but for some reason, it seems almost cyclic that we collide. We're both strong-willed personalities. We have collisions, after which, of course, we both apologize, and we're trying our best now to have things be easy between us. But you know, they're not.
Right.
And it's not for lack of effort or dedication or love. It's not, no, there's something else at work. So I go into the record and my question would be like, really, what's going on here? What is the problem? Because I want to get to the bottom of things. And when I ask within the record, I take my honest, right, my honest question, right, into my own records and I ask, I'm asking for guidance. Okay. I'm asking for guidance and insight and wisdom and direction. All righty. And so I will ask something like, what's really the true nature of this problem? And when did it start? Did it start in first grade in this life? Well, maybe it did. But maybe it started about 700 years ago, right? When we were in the castle, right? And we were fighting over the same dress.
Right. Over the same mutton leg.
Listen, especially, you know, sometimes we're engaged with other people. We're like, oh my God, I don't believe we're going to have this argument again.
Right.
It's true. So what happens is we get a perspective, right? The perspective, there's an altitude of consciousness in the record. So I see what, you know, I see what this is really, what, you know, where it started and what's really going on here. Okay. With that awareness. Now, you know how this is.
Sure.
When we tell the truth about something, there's a shift in our relationship. Our attachment to the problem is released.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the way, the fundamental, the primary way problems get resolved, difficulties are released, working in the records is by speaking. Because we know energy moves on the spoken word, and it's particularly amplified within this realm of the Akasha, right? Within that realm, it's like it's supercharged. So as we speak the truth in the record, that which is false, okay, limited ideas, understandings, misperceptions seem to fall away. Mm-hmm. Now, from an outside point of view, you know, I could look and say, well, nothing's happened. Right. And in the ordinary, nothing has really changed
for you and for the other. Are you looking also maybe what the other person happened where it started all this?
Right. For me and the other person, I think, well, what's the big deal? We just told the truth, but I can feel it. You know, you can feel it when there's a shift.
Right. Well, absolutely. Right.
And then we move on from there. So longstanding problems get resolved. Insight, you know, we can see things differently. The environment of the record, it's I like to think of it as like the Akashic atmosphere. It is infinite in kindness and respect, and so it's very safe, and it makes it easier for us to see, you know, to take personal responsibility, to admit to, you know, what is my part in this? What am I, how am I making things worse? As well as how am I making things better, right? But we can see in this environment of really profound kindness and respect, it is easier to see the truth and admit that, and then to move on.
That's where you, like you said, when you're moving in your vibration, your soul, and knowing your own soul through the Akashic records, it helps you not only deal with things up from the past, but like you said, moving from the now into the future and helping to create, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Very nice. So when did this strike for you? How did you first come across, like you said, you were in Chicago or whatever, you heard the name and it didn't make sense to you, but what struck you about it and how did you get started in working with all of these?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, My whole journey is I had what was for me a very profound spiritual moment, as so many of us do, right? Many of us have this. I was about 24, and I woke up one day and I realized I had done everything right. You know, I did it all right, and there I was in the beautiful apartment. Everything was in place, and I had this sense of a void. Right, the spiritual void that was so, it was overwhelming. And in that, I really prayed. And I was like, okay, you know, God, if you are there, I need some help with this, because there has to be more to life than this. And as we all know, there is. And within short order, I had this experience. And in the experience, what occurred was, I was looking out my window and made contact with the tree outside my window. And in this moment, it became very clear to me that I was one with the tree, that I was connected to everything, and everything, of course, connected to me. And it was so real, I could touch it. You see, it was amazing. In that same, it was like, who knows, you know, what was it, 10 seconds? In that time frame, I had the sense that not only am I loved by this divine presence, but I'm liked. Now, for me to be liked and enjoyed, qualitatively, it's a little different. It blew my mind. This was over, you know, this was over 30 years ago, and I am still growing into this amazing sense of being both known and loved. And
it doesn't end, does it? It's expanding.
It just keeps going. It keeps going. Yeah. But here's what happened. It was, for me, it was like pulling the trigger. I knew at that moment that whatever this is, I must live my life from this place of awareness. That nothing, you know, I mean, why settle after that?
So, right, of course.
So the quest was on, of course, you know, and I was, you know, I tried all kinds of things, and I went to a million workshops and seminars. I did everything. And it was all wonderful. Yes. And I was actually, I was on a panel talking about shamanism for many years. I had a practice of doing shamanic healing, which was tremendous. But I was on this panel talking about shamanic healing, and there was a woman talking about the Akashic Records. She was the most esoteric. She was remote. Do you know what I mean? She was, but she would say the word Akashic, and I was like, nah, it went through me. I thought,
how was that again, Linda? What did you do?
I couldn't even understand her. I thought, I'm going to her workshop. So I did. And I'll tell you something. And she taught us how to open the records.
Wow.
When I opened the records at that point in time, this was in 1994, I opened my records. And I had an experience that was the closest I had ever come to my original spiritual moment. And it continues to be that for me. It is that space that every time I open the records, I move into this realm where I have the sense of being known and loved and liked. And it has been, for me, remarkable. One of the things that's, I think, funny is that I remember when I first came into the record and someone said to me, oh, it's an infinite spiritual resource. And I thought, oh, I get that, infinite spiritual resource. I want you to know, it's 18 years later, I don't think I get infinite spiritual. Infinite. You know, we're not kidding. Infinite is really infinite. It is. Yeah. It is beyond comprehension, and I have come to recognize that and certainly appreciate it. But
that's tough to put into words. It's you can't. I mean, it's that same feeling that I think that we all get anytime that you're in source or like I know that you're a speaker, and when I'm on stage, there's just that flow, isn't there, that you get into, and it's indescribable, and it just, you come to live from there as you're doing the work.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely amazing. Yes. So now anybody, this is what we were talking about in the beginning of the show, anybody can access their records. So how do you start doing that?
Okay. First, you know what I want to say? This is true. Anybody can access their records. I mean, it's your own soul. Of course you can. Right?
You have a right, as it were.
That came as a surprise to me. But yes, anyone who really wants to can. Now, the way I work and the way I teach is through the sacred prayer, through a sacred prayer method, right? And the prayer that was revealed to me in 2001 is the pathway prayer process to access the very heart of the record. So what happens? In the saying of the prayer, two things happen. One is that the consciousness of the practitioner gets moved into a state of receptivity. Okay? So it's okay. So you become, as a practitioner, I get like more receptive and open. Yes. And at the same time, I call up one set of records, right? When we're doing spiritual work, I think it's really important to know, you know, where am I? Where is this information coming from? Like that. And so I call up one set of records. What happens is there's some place, right, dimensionally where these two click or connect. And from there, what we call the reading commences.
Okay.
Now, in doing work in the records, you know, when we talk about this, we use a visual language. You know, we see things, we read the records. The fact is, there are some people who actually hear, okay, their audio, they hear. There might be 5%. There might be 15% who consistently see images, okay, with like that inner eye, that inner seeing. They see images that they can describe. And then finally, there's the rest of us, like the 80%, who have a sense of knowing. All right. And that's how the records come. It's very relational. The records do not impose, right? Or they don't impose or intrude. It's what happens is we really step up and make ourselves available, asking for guidance, direction, and really courage to know the truth. And in so asking, we can begin to look at who we are in life, look at our own lives from the perspective of our soul to see, what is going on? How are the events and circumstances of my life, as well as the people, how is everything moving to bring me to greater awareness, to reveal more goodness and grace? So we can see, this is how this goes.
Yeah. And you said something important, I think, courageousness, because a lot of times, I think it takes huge courageousness for us to step up. You know, we have people that call us and ask for answers, and you try to give them certain answers, and they only want to hear other answers, right? Or they don't want to look into it too deeply. You have to have courageousness to say, what is so wrong in my life that I need to move forward now? And not just, is it going to get better? When will this person call me? You know what I mean? Like, they're just answers like that. We have to really dig deep. And I think it does take a lot of courageousness to stand there, okay, show me whatever it is that I need to know to move forward.
Well, see, this is, you know, that's really beautiful. I do recognize that any one of us, you know, when we do this work, whether we are giving a reading or receiving a reading, there is a tremendous vulnerability here.
Absolutely. Okay.
And it really is, because as the practitioner, you know, listen, I don't know what I'm going to say till I open my mouth. You know, we don't know. And so part of it, and I think what is so sacred about it, right, is that it's the two of us together exploring those realms that are unclear to us at the moment.
Right. And I like how you put that together, because so many times they come to you, all right, and then you're in this position, and then you tell me. But it, no, it's like you said, it's an exploration together. It's a guidance. It's a exploring. I love that. That was very well said. Nice.
Oh, good. Yeah. And I think what it takes to step forward and ask for help, you know, that's heroic. That is such a tremendous act of self-respect and love.
Absolutely.
To say, yes, I could use some, you know, I need some help here. Because, you know, our culture says, whatever you do, don't ask for help.
And, I know, God forbid, right? Do it yourself. Pull up your big boy pants.
But the time we're in, I mean, we know this, right? We're in the revolution, right? The revolution is afoot. And so in order to thrive in these very, you know, uncertain times, we are being pushed to take risks that certainly our grandparents would never think of.
Right.
And it is a wonderful time to be alive and to be a part of this.
Absolutely. And things are changing, aren't they? The Akashic Records, I'm sure, not only does it have things to say about soul, but does it have to say about planetary situations or movements that we as a people are headed in right now? Does it do that kind of thing?
Yes.
Sure. Okay, let's move on.
Sure. No. Would you like to hear about? No, this is true. Listen. Yes. So the records, okay, this is the idea, the record. Okay, so we look at ourselves. We look at other people. We look at the level of the individual. And then we do see the collective. Of course, we see the collective. The planet itself has records, right? We can open the records of the planet and ask questions there. We find our best answers within our own records, because this is the position from which the information we need is revealed, right? So I go in and I ask, what is this 2012? What is it everyone's talking about? And what has been very consistent in my work, I've been exploring the question for a few years, what has been very consistent are a few things. First, that one of the most important shifts is that we are moving from an individual, you know, me, I, the individual consciousness, to a we consciousness. I mean, it is quite dramatic that our awareness of our interrelatedness with one another is unprecedented. And this is, it's wonderful because we are stepping up to the time where we operate within the awareness of our oneness as a global family, the right. human family. And so we are more aware than ever before that what I do, whether it's positive or negative, a contribution or a detriment, really does impact the whole. I mean, we know this more now than ever before. It's very, very exciting. The idea, one of the old ways of being was that we identified ourselves in terms of our religious affiliations. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the first time in a long time that human beings are not organized. We don't congregate or organize ourselves according to our religions. Okay, our relationships with people, certainly while we're biologically related, we are moving into a time where we are connected through soul level awareness. So what this means, what does this really mean? What this means is, especially for what we know as old souls like this, we go out in the world, we have these amazing connections with people we've known for 2 minutes. Right?
Right.
And
right,
yet right. We're with the family of origin. We're like, who are these people and how did I get here? See, because our associations, the way we're connecting through spiritual, right? Through spiritual awareness as opposed to bloodline. Exactly. This is we have the tribal consciousness like has broken open. It's very exciting.
I love that. Thank you so much. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to find out more about, like, when somebody calls you and has their Akashic records read, what they can expect, and I know that you give classes and all that type of stuff, so I want to find out more information about that, okay? But meanwhile, like I said, we're just going to take about a minute or break or so, everyone, and then we're going to come right back. Please don't call in for readings right now. We're not doing that with Linda this evening. We will be doing that in the second half of the show, however, and we'll let you know what the number is. But meanwhile, again, you're listening to Psychic Access Talk Radio at Psychic Viewpoint with Linda Howe coming up back after the break. Stay with us.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
2, 1.
And welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Psychic Viewpoint. Tonight, our guest, Linda Howe, the founder of the Center for Akashic Studies, is our guest tonight. And we're so delighted, so excited to have her here with us. Linda, again, thank you for being on the show. Before we get started back into some of our other subjects, Maureen, one of our co-hosts, I'd like for you to meet. Maureen, this is Linda Howe. You have a question for me?
Yes. Hi, Linda. Hi. Yes, I do. I was thinking about my echo. Well, if I'm echoing, sorry, you guys. I guess you have to hear to me. But isn't it, from what I understand or from what I've researched and or come to find, is that everybody, it's like reflects everything that's happened. Like you said, you were talking about in the universe. It's like a reflection of everything. And the sum of these effects, and they're called the records, the Akashic records. But that could be perceived by some people that this is some paranormal gift. But I don't feel that this is really true, and I want to know what your take was on this, because isn't it more about ancient occult traditions that, like, the astral light belongs to the world of consciousness, just like in the collective unconsciousness. and not to the world of matter. So what it reflects is every mental event of the universe. So I want to know what your take was on it, because like Jim Morrison called it the universal mind. I think it's the same kind of thing in some ways. And Jung would talk about, and Edgar Cayce talked about in a certain way too. And I wanted to know, are you following me on this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand what you're talking about. So what's your question?
My question is, what's your thoughts about that? Because
here's where I want to go with this. I think this is it's really important that you bring this up. Okay. This whole business, the fact of the matter is, this is not paranormal. This is not psychic. You do not have to be psychic to have a more conscious relationship with your soul. Okay? We are talking about a more conscious link between our ordinary awareness, yes, and our innermost self, which is the part of the self that knows that it's divine, right, in nature, and is connected with the whole. All right, now, historically, there have always been people who could access the records. Always. This is not new. This is an ancient resource, right? However, in times past, they were, first of all, they were men. They were scholars, mystics, right, saints, like that. And they were usually people, let's say they were not mainstream people like us, right, secular people. Okay. In the middle of the last century, Edgar Cayce came along. Edgar Cayce was brilliant and fabulous. Cayce accessed the Akashic Record. In his work, he would be in an unconscious trance, and someone else would transcribe, right? He would be talking. He didn't even know what he was saying, right? He knew it was valuable. He knew it was profound. He knew it was changing lives. He was transmitting healing information, wisdom, like this. He knew it, but he was unconscious. That was in the 1940s and 50s. So here we are in 2012. And what's happened is that the record itself, because of the time we're in, is now more accessible. For the first time in history, it is available to secular people like us. Okay? This is a huge distinguishing characteristic. So anyone who wants to can access their own records or the records of others. But here's the other thing, is that we no longer have to be unconscious. That in using the pathway prayer, we are conscious. It's conscious. It's deliberate. It's responsible. So that we are no longer victims of our own spirituality, which has happened. I mean, we've been victims of religiosity, right, in a million forms. But this is remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. So
is that almost like a doorway then, Linda? You know, when you say this prayer.
It's a doorway. And listen, you know, I've taught thousands of people. People come to classes and they say, so we'll work and, you know, people read the book or, you know, they'll come to a class and they'll say things to me like, oh, I've been here before. Yes, you have.
Well, Linda, I thank you for that. You know, because it's very fascinating to me because of the fact, you know, talking about even Jim Morrison, like he called it universal mind. But I'm a real union. I really am a follower. I love his work, and I adore his work. And I think he had it going on. And I also feel that it's almost like what you bring up, it makes a lot of sense to me because we are in an interesting time now. So this is the source of immediate knowing, like you were speaking of earlier, and that we call science infused during the Renaissance, but where really it's instant knowledge, light from inside of you.
But here's the thing. This is really interesting, isn't it? Because it is both within and beyond.
Right.
It is imminent and it is what? Transcendent. It is
Sentient,
both.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is both. And it is only accessible. It is accessible through the very precise point of the moment. So what I know is this. People will come and they'll say, oh, the records. If they try to go out to the records, they don't get anywhere. But if you're willing to settle in and to be, if we search for phenomena, if we follow the path of phenomenal, sensational, that's not it. It is not that. It is through this, it's like the strongest, it's the strong pulse of life that we all know when we make contact. We all know it. However, this is the time in, it is the time in human evolution when we can move into that of our own volition. See, you guys know, I don't have to tell you. It's like, you know, the age of the priest is over. The age of the intermediary is over. This is the age where we make this direct contact on our own. And when we're there, we know it. Of course we know it. We are being called by the prompting, that inner prompting of our own souls to know ourselves more than ever before. And to use our spiritual awareness not to move away from life, but to actually move into life more fully, in the awareness of the multidimensional nature of our being. Brilliant. This is, you know, this is what is tremendous about 2012. That in this time, it is through the awareness of the point of light and the path of light that we can navigate what are basically ridiculous times. Because in the external, you know, the external structures, I mean, they're crashing. Governments, economies, it's all going to the dogs. Everything that we thought was safe and secure, well, we know it's not. So where do we put our reliance? Where do we trust? And that's what this is about. That's why the record has become available at this point in history.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. I want you to meet our other co-host. I'm sorry. I think I stepped all over you, Linda.
All right. Don't worry. It's all right. Don't worry. Go on.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Our other co-host, Lady Brenda, has also a question for you. Brenda, this is Linda.
Well, I don't know how I can follow that. I was just so fascinated. Listen, I'm on the same page with you with that. But I also wanted to ask you, because I've studied Egyptology and Egyptian belief system and spirituality, and a lot of the Egyptian traditions talk about the Emerald Tablets and going in the priests and the priestesses bring their initiates to the halls of learning. And you're speaking that now everybody is going to be able to have that type of access, but they do have to do some sort of spiritual work on their own, don't they?
Here's the thing. This is a great question.
I'm serious because, you know, you can't get nothing from nothing.
So listen, we're serious about this. We can have fun, but I know there isn't anyone listening or anyone present at this moment unless they're serious. We are very serious about this. This is the quality of our aliveness on the line. So here's, in terms of preparation, here is the way it is at this point in time. You know, the veil is quite thin right now, and the doors are opening.
Absolutely.
The doors are opening. However, the record meets everyone at their level of ability. So we have two, safety checks. The first is, even though people like you and I, Brenda, find it hard to believe, you know, not everyone wants to read their records.
They may not be ready for it in this lifetime. That was the point I was making.
That's right. They don't have to. People live life, you know, people live lifetimes without, it's all right. It's all right. Somebody has to keep the whole.
So they'll get what they need, in other words.
Exactly. And then there are some for whom all they want to do is touch the hem. Sometimes touching the hem of the garment, that'll get you through two or three lifetimes. And then there's the rest of us. We're like, you know, we're like dying for a drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
We've waited for this time. And so, to those who, if it's your time, first of all, you won't be called unless it's your time. People who, if it's not their time, they don't want to go, they don't want to read the book. They don't want to come to the class. What I know,
they're not ready.
It's not time. It is not time. But when it's someone's time, they they will find their way to the record. When it's your time, it's your time. The record will find you. The light will find you. It will tap you on the door of your heart. It will light the way. You will, the light will find you. It always does. But it is, you get from your studies, you understand that these spiritual resources have been available for a long time. And yet they have been the exclusive domain of those who are really well-trained, of the sophisticated. And so what we see are two things. One is that humanity, because of the need is greater than it's ever been for us to be in alignment, right, with our souls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's desperate. I mean, it's bad out here, right? And so this is why the records are available, because we need a lifeline. And we have historically looked to external structures through which we hope to have these internal spiritual awakenings that were sustainable, right? Sustainable. We're not talking about, ecstatic states where we were tripping or whatever. No, we're talking about sustainable spiritual awareness. And that's what's going on here.
Brilliant. So. Very good answer.
Well, that was, I was curious about that because I was wondering because, I always feel that in order to attain certain things and goals on the spiritual level, you have to have some types of discipline in your life and stuff. So that was my question. And I'm glad that it makes perfect sense because
absolutely,
you're not going to be given what you can't handle. In other words,
you're not. And the universe, it's a brilliant universe. It's all basically rigged as far as I can tell. But you know what else I want to tell you? Here's the other thing. And this is fascinating too, is that we are entering the age of spiritual maturity. We are no longer spiritual children, as you guys know. And in the spiritual maturity, we must be willing to be beginners. People who are willing to be beginners and start at the beginning, their progression of their practice working in the records flourishes. But for those who don't want to be beginners, as you understand, there is a consciousness of receptivity in being a beginner that actually can just turbocharge your path.
That's because you're like a sponge, you're open.
Exactly. And so one of the traits that I've seen that makes a world of difference, students who come in and are willing to be beginners in this, because most of the people who come to my classes, they really have a lot of mastery in so many, many methods and disciplines and systems. And it is quite difficult to put that down to the side and say, I may be a master in X, Y, and Z, but I'm new to this. But those who are willing to be a newcomer, to start at the beginning, they grow, their growth it's inspiring. It's absolutely inspiring.
So with that, Linda, so when you're teaching what can a person expect when they take an Akashic Records class then? You just now mentioned having to kind of leave, or not leave, but it's like you said, you don't want to insert your discipline or whatever it is that you're studying. You don't want to insert that onto this, because otherwise I think that you can block yourself if you have too many different opinions about things. So you just come in, open slate, and so what can a person expect then with an Akashic Records class?
Okay, what happens in the class? Classes are very... I like to think of the class as a powerful container, right? It's like the crucible, really, within which the inner realms are expanded so that you can go deeper. All right, what does that really mean? First of all, we have a wonderful time in classes. We have a lot of fun. But we learn, there are guidelines. There are suggestions for success. We talk about the realities of this, that this is not phenomenal. Okay, it is not about channeling entities. It's about transmitting insight, guidance, and wisdom. It's about connecting with the convergence zone, right, where wisdom, infinite wisdom, and infinite compassion intersect and moving from that point. But so we talk about guidelines and what works and what doesn't. We explore what kinds of questions are productive and which are not, right? Because there is a practice to this. It's not magic and it's not instant. And so we experiment working in our own records, and then we do, even if we experiment, we work doing readings for one another. And I know for some, this can make you really nervous, especially, you know, a lot of people, you know, they don't really want to do readings for others. But I have found that, you know, since teaching since 1996, teaching this work since 1996, that when people experiment with reading one another, what happens is it opens up the record greater, so that then when they go home and do their own practice, there's more room in their records.
They've got more confidence, doesn't it? It sounds like it would.
Yeah.
Yeah, more confidence in that, and then less resistance on your own stuff.
Right, right. And there's something about the power of the group. Now, listen, you know, listen, I wrote the book. I know the book. It's great. But you can learn how to read the records on your own. Okay, absolutely. Of course you can. But the people who come to classes, they go much deeper, much faster, with less effort. It is the power of the group. Okay, and that doesn't mean the group is working on you. It's just that when we have a group of committed, you know, a number of individuals committed to moving in the same direction, what happens? It's, you know, it's a bundle of energy, and everybody moves in deeper and faster. So, absolutely. So people can explore what will support them in a practice of working in the records. Okay, whether that's opening the records and journaling, asking for personal guidance, right, on your life journey. There are others who find that they do want to use it as a service, right, to really give a service to others, to be able to see others from the perspective of the soul, and to do some problem solving from that place. So it's really exciting because people discover for themselves what are some possible uses. How can they use this to support themselves in life? Very, very exciting.
So we just got a couple of minutes left. And would you tell me, please, when somebody calls you for a reading, for the Akashic Records to look in the records, what can they expect from that then?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, here's what I love. I love unbudgeable problems. That's like my favorite thing. So I love it when we have an appointment for a reading, you know, we have a set time, and then, you know, then you call me and I say the prayer, and then I will ask you, you know, what do you need? What are you looking for? Okay, because the records are vast, right? They're vast, right? And they're interesting, and I want to make sure you get what you want and not what entertains me.
Of course. Okay. Right, of course.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's all interesting to me. But anyway, so what we do is we will look at you like, Who are you? Are you in line with your soul's purposes? I like to know, where are you having trouble in your life? What doesn't make sense? Because we can look at whether it's relationships, work and money. People have health difficulties. I mean, we all have. I mean, so what we find is that the problem, right, the presenting problem is always the point of power through which we come to know ourselves more, and come into the truth of who we are and who others are as well. So we look at who you are. We look to see, how is life conspiring to bring out the best in you? Okay, where are you in alignment with your soul's purposes and intentions? What will it take for you to be there? I mean, what do you really have to do? I'm very interested in the real life, you know, the everyday application of spiritual principles.
Right.
All right. So I like to see what would it really mean for you to be living a soul-led life? What would you be doing? Right. And we explore these kinds of things. It's just
brilliant.
If problems are rooted in previous incarnations, I mean, certainly, of course, we say that. But I don't go fishing for past lives. I mean, who cares? Right. We want to get to the heart of things.
Get you moving forward now. Like you said, now is the time that we have. Now is the only time that you can do anything about past life problems or what you're creating for yourself in future problems. Now is it.
This is it. Right.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Linda. This has been amazing. And obviously, this is one of those, you know, we run into this a lot, where this is one of those subjects that we could easily take it on for another 2 hours and talk about and still just graze the surface. So listen, everyone, to get a hold of Linda, just go to her website at lindahowe.com. And her last name, Howe, is spelled H-O-W-E, lindahowe.com. Is that the best way to get a hold of you, Linda?
That's great. Or you can go to akashicstudies.com.
Learn more about that, because you have videos up there as well, yes?
Akashicstudies.com. Either one.
Great. Linda, again, thank you so very much for taking time out of your schedule and discussing all of this with us. I think very helpful information. And we'd love to have you on again at some point.
Oh, I would love to come back. And I want to thank you for asking such great questions.
Oh, sure. Thank you very much, Linda. Okay, have an awesome evening, okay?
That's great.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
There she is, Linda Howe. My goodness.
That was a good one, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? There's so much. You just know that there's so much information, Tony. We can't get to it all because there's just an incredible amount of information. So listen, everyone, stay tuned for the second half of the show. That's when we're going to be giving our free on-air readings. We've got all of our gifted psychics with us. We have Lady Brenda. We've got Maureen. We've got Steve. Steve will even do his English accent for you if you like. If not, he'll do his Tennessee accent where he's actually living right now.
I want to hear that.
I can do it now.
An English man doing a Tennessee accent.
Inquiring minds.
No teeth. Well,
my tongue would just snap right off. So we're going to announce the call-in number a little bit later in the show. Now is not the time to call in, so give us just a little bit, and then have something to write the number down with so that you've got it. We'll put it in the chat room as well for all of those who are in the chat room, which is a great number, by the way, of everybody visiting the chat room. So thanks for joining us. Last week's show, Living with the Planets, if you were not able to catch that show, of course, we have recorded archive links for all of our shows here on Psychic Access. So all you have to do is just, when you visit psychicaccesstalkradio.com, just underneath the archives tab, you can go there and find which show that appeals to you. Circulate it, give it to your friends, anybody who you think might also benefit from that type of information. You may catch a moment in the show that you want to pass on to a friend as well. Be sure to share those details. Of course, our objective is trying to connect with as many people as possible. So when you share that link with others, you're helping us to kind of spread the word a little bit. And then also, sometimes in your off time and you just want some very helpful articles and things like that to read, anything from reincarnation to how-to and psychic development, or you just need something that's inspiring and maybe uplifting, go to our psychicbloggers.com site. There you will find all kinds of articles that are written by all of our psychic access. So, and then if you're interested and you want to get a reading from what I consider to be some of the best professional psychics on the net, you can visit us at psychicaccess.com. They're verified, accuracy tested, each have their own unique gifts. There were people asking me last week when I was gone about particulars of psychicness, who works with tarot cards, who works with astrology, different things like that. We cover it all. Each of the psychics has detailed profiles that you can find out more about them. Choose from the list of some of these authentic, gifted people that are on the net on our site, and then you can see which one may appeal to you. And then Doug, of course, is the one that has put all of this together at Psychic Access. He has very high expectations of every single psychic. It's a huge interview process and things that they have to go through in order to be able to do what they do on our site. So you can trust all of that. And then all of our co-hosts here, Lady Brenda, Steve, Maureen, and myself, all work at Psychic Access as well. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, you can visit us at psychicaccess.com as well. We'd love to hear from you. I will be on after the show. Steve, are you going to be on after the show?
I will be, yes. I was, okay. but my cats were meowing. But yes, I will until midnight Eastern time.
Very good.
One of your records, meow.
Maureen, Brenda, yes, are you going to be on after the show?
Yes, I plan to
later, be on. Later, much later.
Much later. She's the late gal. Hey, also site owners, webmasters, here's a way to earn 50 cents a minute on every reading. Traffic that's referred to our website at psychicaccess.com. When you refer that, 50 cents a minute on every reading. You can find out more information on that as well at psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And again, if you like the show, invite your friends. Join us in the chat room. Some people just want to come and be connected. This is a great show to be able to just to come into the chat room and stay connected with like-minded people. There's something for everybody. So again, if you could just help us spread the word, that would be awesome. Now, it's still not time. However, the number to call in is 724-444-4851. 724-444-4851. And we'll be inviting everybody else to call in here in probably about 20 minutes or so. So if you have questions, be sure you stay kind of pointed and direct. We have a lot of people sometimes that we have to get through. So if you have a question, have it ready for anyone. We do a cycle, right? You'll call in. You don't know who you're going to get, but guaranteed that all of us enjoy working with everyone who calls in, and you'll get something that's definitely beneficial for you. So, Maureen, on the whole Akashic studies, great question that you asked her, and I think she did understand what you were talking about, but
yeah.
She had even mentioned herself before you had mentioned about Edgar Cayce. She had brought him up about tapping into the Akashic records and things like that, right?
Yeah, and he was from way back. You're talking about the 30s, I'm pretty sure. It's the 30s is when he was doing – is that right, everybody, Steve, Brenda, do you – I think it was the 30s. 1930s is when he was.
Why are you asking Lady Brenda? She would never know.
Because I thought if I asked you, I mean, you already know, so I wanted to bring them.
I had a life in the 30s. One of my past lives was in the 30s, so I
know the
40s.
I don't know. I wasn't even born into my previous incarnation.
No. Okay, you know, you guys, I know.
You're a newbie.
Okay, I like the way she said. It's a knowing, because I've always had this thing about, I don't like to use the word I believe or my beliefs. All I know is what I know. It's a knowing. But what she did bring up Edgar Cayce. But the thing of it is about that is it's fascinating. And I wanted to give an example. I'm speaking for myself. I have a lot of regard for that man. And he made a big difference, and he didn't charge. It was his thing, and it was interesting. And I'm sure maybe my host would agree on this man, and still today, you know, as the research goes on, or what he gave a lot to the study of everything, and also he didn't at the time where he didn't have shows like this. He didn't have as much records, although he was tapped into these so-called. I'm not saying so-called. I'm not saying I believe it or not. I'm just saying. These records, okay? So what I wanted to talk about quickly is what he was, you know, we all have an unconscious and we have a subconscious, conscious, we have a subconscious, and then we have what you call a super subconscious. And he was able, when he would do his readings, that's what he called in tapping into those, how do you say, Brenda, the record, the name?
The
Akashic.
The Akashic records. Akashic.
That's right. You say it so beautifully. I wanted you to share that. Anyway, how'd you like that one? Anyway, the thing of it is, that's how he, and that's how the layers of the planes, I followed what he was saying, but he was able, that's how he did those readings. Well, at one point in time, here's a good example of how I want to try to explain, because I know it's a confusing subject, or what, are they written down somewhere in some wall? No. They're all within us. But Edgar Cayce had a woman, about 29 years old, she came to him for a reading in person, and at the time she was 25. Actually, the first reading she came to him for, it was for some medical health things. But the second time she came for him, because she had always had a problem making friends all her life. It was like she never felt she made friends. So here she's 29, and she was coming for a reading to see if they could find out anything. And also, she was also had a very bad reputation as being a very loose, promiscuous woman. But women would always, you know what I mean, you guys. She was like, oh. And this was her reputation. And also, men also would see her as being somebody that they certainly wouldn't bring her home to mom, okay? That's the type of woman she was. But according to this woman, none of this was really true. So Edgar Cayce did a reading, and he tapped into those records. And he comes to find that I'm just giving an example because someone might be able to understand this. Came to find that in some past life, of course, she was a prostitute. So it was carried over. It's all about what Edgar Casey talked about. It had to do with the intent behind the action from a past life. Her intent during this past life had to do with her getting something for self-gain. She wanted to use men and get what she could from them. Okay, so and then this is another fascinating. Years later, this other separate woman comes to see him for a reading. They go into a past life. It turns out this woman had a lot of fear about intimacy in this present life which would have been ours, whatever. You know what I mean. That she had a hard time being close and being open in a relationship. So she had a fear of intimacy. It turns out she also had a past life that of a prostitute. Now, again, remember the intent is the main thing here. But at that time, Edgar Case did this reading. He said she was a prostitute in one life. She brought it over and she's supposed to work on it. But the reason why she was prostituting was out of love. And sounds weird, right? But it had nothing to do with this other woman. She did it because this is the only thing she knew she had, her body, to show love.
Hmm. How she expressed it.
Exactly. That was her intent. She didn't know. That was the intent from her in that past lifetime. Whereas the other woman, the intent was all about her getting getting what she could from men. The other woman, all she had was to show love, was to offer her body or whatever to men. The intent was from love. Yes. Do you follow me?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Like you said, it's intent by that.
It's completely intent. So two people that might have come from past life, they're both prostitutes, let's say, and they come in. It might be, that's where I'm trying to help people in the, maybe, you know, listen to, if I could, I hope everybody follow what the difference is. It comes down to the intent of what we carry on. I mean, and then I know I have a lot of things I carry on, but I might have to deal with them in a different way, but because my intent at the time.
And if we look at the bigger picture of everything, instead of just immediately judging certain actions, there's a deeper meaning to everything, and we don't always go there, do we?
Exactly. There you
Wonderful.
Have it.
Thank you very much. And we're not ready to face it. I know you brought that up a couple of times, Brenda, that you're right. I think that when you're ready to ask the question, you're kind of ready to hear the answer in a lot of ways. But you know, Brenda, you say that there's different ways that records can be accessed.
You know, Maureen talked about Edgar Casey, and I've read a lot of his books. I think he was brilliant. He did like past life regressions and stuff like that. And the Akashic records can be accessed in a lot of different ways. I mean, Linda was talking about a type of meditation or a keyword to bring them in, but they have also been accessed through past life regressions, progressions, astral projection. Now, I don't recommend that to people who aren't, you know, versed in it, because it can be kind of a scary type of thing. But that's one of the ways of accessing it.
Interesting.
And in what it really, you know. In a nutshell, what I got from her talk and what I've always thought about the Akashic Records, it exists out there in the superconsciousness. And, you know, everybody, you know, through certain guidance or tools and stuff can tap into it. And
do you think that's where we get some of our information from? Let's say if we're doing information, I think it comes from all kinds of places. People say, do you use your guides? Well, I don't particularly just ask my guide to tell me about this person, or I don't talk to the person's guide. It's source information, and which could contain many facets that just information comes up. Maybe records, an angel, a guide, your loved ones, just all this, right?
It's like a huge, big ball of wax up there in the sky. But, you know, well, actually, it's all around us. It's multidimensional.
Right.
And people, when clients ask me, they go, well, where do you get this stuff? How do you know? I believe that. We as psychics and intuitives and mediums, we access that, the Akashic Records. We've trained ourselves. This is where we get it. Where else can we get it? It's a super consciousness. It's an information that's out there, and it's available to everybody because it's a part of everything, you know?
And it's tough to explain that to people who, when you say, you just know, you can't leave it at that. You know, there's many different types of scenarios to put it in to help somebody understand the feeling, but it is just a simple knowing. And once you've learned how to tap into that, it just becomes like a switch. You just automatically go
there. Right, and everybody has their own method. And people always say, well, why do you use tools like tarot, crystal ball? You know, these are things that they just become like a channel.
Yeah.
Like turning on the crystal ball TV.
Right. Very good. So, Steve, talking about all the Akashic records, do you, when you tap into information, is that, do you have a specific place that you know this information's coming from? In other words, I can tell. So if I'm talking to somebody and they ask me a question, what do you think is going to happen? Can you ask my dad what's going to happen in my career? I instantly, on most occasions, feel dad stepping back because it's like, that's not my area. You know, it's not me to predict the future or tell the something like that. I can have an opinion about it, but then all of a sudden I feel the information coming from somewhere else. Now, do you pinpoint also where information's coming from, and do you believe that you're getting it from the Akashic Records?
I believe that we do access the Akashic Records. I believe that everybody has a sense of their past when they tune in, when they reflect or meditate, when they live consciously. And I believe as well that everybody has a sense of their talents, their purpose, their role in the world. And I believe that psychics, intuitives are simply more sensitively attuned to that information. So yes, I believe that we're accessing the Akashic Records. When it comes to working with people that have passed to spirit, I agree with you entirely. The energy feels different. I find the energy is very fast when I'm doing mediumship, and generally the person in spirit is wanting to give often what you would consider quite mundane information about their appearance or their lives, mm-hmm. because they're giving evidence that they are present. They're giving evidence of the continued existence of the soul. And when it comes to giving a client guidance about their purpose or their role, their talents, I feel that that comes from a different source. And in all honesty, I'm not sure I need to know exactly where from the source the information comes, as long as it's right.
That's good what you said, because I am very honest with people, because people ask me, well, you know, who are your guides and where do you get that? And to tell you the truth, I have no idea. I tap into the source information. I know that guides, loved ones, Akashic records, whatever you want to put on it, the information comes through and it fits for the person that I'm reading. I don't have to know. It's not like that. I don't want to know, oh, that came – I mean, unless I'm clarifying, sometimes you give a message out and I don't want them to think that that came from dad. I want them to know that that came from source information and what's you and here's what's guiding you that didn't come from your father. And then other times it's appropriate to say, I know all the other information we've given, but your father wants you to know this. You know what I mean? So I think that's brilliant, yeah, what you just said.
I do too.
You think it was brilliant too? Yeah, he knows it was brilliant. So I shouldn't have even said anything. Kind of goes without saying. No, so speaking of Maureen and the clap.
No,
let's
I clap.
What?
No,
it's that kind of clap. It's like,
oh,
it's
gosh.
Not the other clap.
So sad.
So what are your, after we're talking about this kind of thing, what are your views, Maureen, okay. then on the Akashic? Oh, excuse me, lips moving, still talking. Wow.
Bobby, I'm following you really well. You're doing very well.
I guess so. That's a true psychic. Just kind of starts answering before we even finish the question.
No, I was speaking in tongue there. I'm sorry. Go on.
All right.
Okay. What you just brought up just a moment ago, I wanted to tell you, and not that I'm trying to toot my horn, but I am. I did a blog, which is – I did a blog. If you go to the bloggers, our bloggers.
Psychicbloggers.com.
Yes, .com, which is very good, everybody. I did one. I put my heart and soul into it. I don't do many, but it was about – I think I titled it No Angels, No Guides, Just Me. read it. You'll understand what you're talking about. Because I too have the same thing going on with what you, I'm going to use the word resonate. You'll resonate with it.
Right.
I just thought I'd just bring that up because I too don't have whatever these, you know, it's just me. So, well, me, myself, and I. Okay, my view is this. I with Brenda, what she was saying, I'm on board with her. I mean, absolutely with that, because I feel that the tools that we use, we have to, our clairvoyance or whatever, even through the tarot, through this. I don't think it has to be done through meditation. It doesn't have to be done through any. I mean, I feel we all know how to do this, but people that work with like with us. I feel, I don't know if I'm going to call it, because I don't, you know, people say, who's telling you this information, my guides? I'm sorry, I'm not getting anybody talking in my ear. I don't hear them. I just comes from my heart. It comes from love. It comes from God, whatever. I don't get that kind of stuff. I don't hear the angels give. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I just know what I know. So the bottom line is, what I think I'm trying to say is we all can assess it through other things. I may not even know I'm assessing these so-called records, but I do feel that pretty much it has to do with when we're in an altered state of any kind, you know, it doesn't really matter, but the clairvoyant ability or just having a knowledge of history and the geography and everything like that. What I get is that we have a select one of these, we can select and tune into it if we want to. And also with all the technology going on right now, I find it very interesting that we connect with people we haven't seen 40 years ago, which I have been doing recently. That's all part of the records too. And it's about years and years ago, that wasn't going on. You know, we never would see these people again. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Follow? I know it kind of meshes in there. So there you have it. The end.
There you have it. I always know when Maureen's done speaking because she's like, and there you have it. It's like on the news because, you know, I used to have my own news program.
Yeah.
And there you have it. Join us at 5 p.m. for all the latest weather and news.
Oh, there you have it, as you thought you guys would think, but you'd be – okay, never mind. Thank you, Bobby.
Okay. So, Brenda, tell us about – now, I want to get this right. Esoteric cosmology, is that tied in with this?
You know, it is, and I was wondering if she was even going to mention it, but she did kind of mention it because
I perked up when she started about it, but I don't think she went into it, though.
Well, she was talking about different planes of existences, you know, that we're, you know, as we, you know, we start to study all the spiritual, you know, types of, you know, lessons that we, and on the Akashic records, you have to be aware of the different planes of existences. And so that's, she talked briefly about that, but she also talked about the different traditions, and that's what that was about. And even, you know, the Kabbalah, as you know, belief systems, and I don't want to say religions, but belief systems that have been with us for, you know, thousands and thousands of years, going back to like the Mesopotamians and the ancient Egyptians, which were, they were societies that, you know, they were completely built on universal truths. So they were able to access the Akashic records or the halls of learning, whatever they called it at the time. And then all those belief systems carried on to the next generations and belief systems, like in, you know, the Jewish Kabbalah, Gnosticism, even the Rosicrucians. Mm-hmm. You know, ascribe to that some type of belief in accessing the halls of learning or the Akashic records. Even the Mormons do it. The Melchizedek priesthood.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty.
I think
fascinating.
Everybody touches into it. We just add
they
our.
Do.
I think humanity adds their own opinions, reflections, perception. Everything gets added to it, and then they take it and make it their own, which rightfully so. But if there's too much stuff, I think that's where it can become confusing, because somebody thinks it's supposed to be a particular way, and if they can't do it that way, they may be connected into it a different way. But if they're trying to get one specific way that they read about or heard somebody do it, they think they're doing something wrong or can't do it.
I think that what happens, you know? Right, and I think that too, in different, as religions get kind of, you know, there's offshoots of different religions, but you go to some of the core beliefs and that have those in which they know that this super consciousness exists, and these, you know, they can, these ancient wisdoms are, that we can access, are all around us. But when they get away from that, it means that, you know, they take away a place where you could, you know, access it on your own, and you have to go to them and be controlled by their yes. entity or church. That's kind of what I was, you know.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree.
It becomes organized, in other words, more organized, and takes away, you know, the philosophy of it and, you know, something that we're born with on this earth, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you very much, Brenda.
Mm-hmm, and you're welcome.
This is the time, everybody, now, 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 now. Come to part of the show. We're taking calls, questions. Either call in. You can ask a question in the chat room. We will try to get to those. There's no guarantees because sometimes we just have everyone lined up on the phone. And so we'll really try to get into the chat room, but please don't count on that. But again, we'll try. The call-in number is 724-444-4851. We've also posted it into the chat room. Again, we only have so many minutes that we're going to be able to read for you. It really helps us to just be precise. What's your question? What would you like to talk about? And let's just get right to it. And then the more direct that you are, the more we can really steer the reading towards you, if that makes sense. So just relax. Listen to the answer. Also, when you call in, you're automatically going to be placed on hold. Your call will be answered right in the order that it was received. So, again, just listen to the show. Everyone relax. I find that as we do a reading for one person, it actually can be beneficial for everyone if you open up and listen. Let's take our phone calls now. We actually have our first caller from Texas for Brenda.
Hello, Texas. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What can I help you with?
Real quickly, I've been in a relationship for about 3 months. It's fairly new. Lately, I have been feeling a little uneasy. Perhaps I'm being too sensitive. Not sure if he's still into me as much as I am to him. Wondering if you'd be able to give me some clarity in regards to that.
Okay. Well, the first thing I see is that, you know, the first 3 months were pretty gung-ho, and there was a lot of contact back and forth between the two of you. I don't feel that he's losing interest. I just feel that, you know, relationships go through cycles. And one of the things that he did do while he was very hot and heavy and getting to know you in the first 3 months is he kind of neglected some things in regards to some personal issues and some, you know, job-related stuff. So if it feels like he's pulling back, he's got to take care of some business right now, but it's not that he hasn't lost interest. It's just that he's just having to change the pace a little bit. And I think that in relationships, men and women, when this happens, they get all panicked because we're not getting those texts every 2 hours. We're not getting those calls so frequently because he's actually getting more comfortable with you is what I'm seeing. That's okay. What I see. You can't approach
exactly
this with fear. Pardon me?
Okay. I just thought it was okay, maybe he's ready to drop the bomb on me, and I'm kind of like being very not standoffish, but you know, kind of like holding up my shield, just you know, because I'm expecting him to just break it off. Or
you're
you know,
waiting
I'm,
for that other shoe to drop there? I don't see that's going
to
happen, honey.
Way,
what I see is that you're approaching. If you send that fear out, you're going to push him away. He senses it. He's going to smell it like a dog, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you need to relax. Right. I feel that he's still present in this relationship. Has he stopped calling? Is that it?
No. I mean, it's just not as frequent, and the text, like you said, is just not as frequent.
It's just the pace, and it really doesn't mean anything. It means that now is the time he's more comfortable with you in the relationship, and maybe you should reach out to him more.
Right, and that's basically my question to you. You know, if there's loss of interest, or you know, do I have to back off myself, or you know, I just didn't know how.
I don't see it. Just be yourself. Be yourself, because you know what. You have to be yourself because nothing you can do will change it if something's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? Which
right.
I don't see. I see him still very present in the relationship.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate
All right.
it, Brenda.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you, Brenda. Okay.
You're welcome.
I'm up next, actually, with a phone call from New York. Who's there? Hello? New York? On the don't make me sing. I'll sing the New York song now. Come on. Hello? Maybe not. All right, well, let's move on. Let's go to California. California, are you there?
Hello?
Hi. Are you from New York or California? Are you from New York or California? Or is that what I'm supposed to guess?
This is Reggie from California.
Reggie from California. All right, I just had to make sure which caller we had on the line. How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty good.
Good, great. What would you like to talk about? What can I help you with?
Yeah, you find a good place to live?
I'm sorry? Say one time, the first part of that got cut off.
I'm trying to find a new apartment this year. You think I'll find a good place to live?
Okay. Oh, was that it? You just asked me if you'll find a good place to live?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good place.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? Are you afraid that you won't?
No, it's just,
You just want some confirmation. Okay. It's just a rather easy question. I mean, as far as where you're coming from and what you're asking of just will you find a good place to live? I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? If you're searching in good parts of town, you want a good place to live, I think you'll totally draw that to you. You don't seem like the type of person that's really negative or worried about where you're going to live, so you're not putting out that vibration. And I think that you've been kind of floating through life here these past few months, which is great. You know, you're finally giving yourself a break, not taking it so hard necessarily, lightening up. I think that's great. All of those are very conducive to what you're looking for, trying to find a good place to live. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You think a move would be a good thing for me?
Well, so I'll back that up with a couple of things. Yes, a move would be good for you. If it weren't, it wouldn't go through your head. You would not have been inspired or gotten the type of feeling like maybe I should move or kind of feeling like you need to get up and move. That's always a first sign to receiving information or receiving signs or from your guides, however you want to phrase it. But that it wouldn't come to you if it weren't time for you to do that. And then psychically backing that up, yeah. This is good for you. Again, I think the only reason that you're kind of in this pause or this kind of floating, like I say, for the past couple of months is because you've been working so hard, which I find that's the case for a lot of people in this past year, working so hard, and then finally this is the time to do it, and you're just taking a pause right now. This is the break in between, and you're kind of leaving that old skin behind, if you will, kind of a shedding of sorts, you know? And so moving will just help kind of complete that and begin your new direction. So does it make sense to you? You kind of get the feeling of what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I'm in a rut.
You think you're in a rut? Mm-hmm. Really? I have to tell you, I do not feel that at all. See, this is the difference between perception, because we oftentimes will become constricted around a particular type of feeling, and my job is to kind of look on the outside of that and see the bigger picture of everything. And when I see that, I can tell you, you're not in a rut. I don't feel that at all with you. So you might want to consider asking yourself, is this really true that I'm in a rut, or does it maybe just feel that way? It doesn't necessarily have to be true.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, what it feels like, and certainly, if you, after the show or whatever, you can always come into our chat rooms and things like that to kind of chat it out a little bit more. But again, I really have to tell you, I just don't see you running into the ground and in a rut. This is a pause period for you, and it's a good thing. Trust me, just allow it to be here. Don't try to change it. Allow yourself to kind of pause, and I think the moving is a good thing for you. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
You bet, Reggie. Thanks for calling in. Tough thing, that. Again, we view things from such a certain perspective, and it's tough to see beyond that. And remember, just question yourself. What you think you might be going through or feeling might not be necessarily true. All right, let's bring in, we've got Steve now. I think we're going to try New York again. Is that right?
Yes.
Or oh, South actually, Dakota. It says South actually South Dakota. Yeah, sorry.
No worries. Who's calling from South Dakota?
Yeah, this is Jen calling
Hello,
from
Jen.
South Dakota.
How are you doing?
Bobby.
You have to be very gentle with her, Steve, just so you know she's very sensitive. She'll cry. Oh, okay. She'll just cry. I'm telling you.
How are you doing, Jen?
Stop it, Bobby. I'm doing good. Tell Bobby quit picking on me. I recently had an upheaval with my job, and now I'm looking for a new job in a new place and a new town and starting over, and I'm just wondering if I'm on the right path.
I feel you are, absolutely. I feel that you've got really good opportunities. I also feel that it was high time for a change. I don't feel that you were happy with your situation anyway. I'm drawn right back to the month of February last year, in February 2011, and I really feel that for much of last year, you were considering moving forward anyway.
Yeah, things started going downhill in February, so.
Sorry?
Things started going downhill in February.
Okay, and that makes sense. I mean, my guides are saying that the world is your oyster. I honestly, I say what I truly feel. I wouldn't sugarcoat what I see just to make you feel good, because I believe that I should articulate what I truly sense. I sense really great things for you. I do feel that you'll relocate, but I think it will be the absolute rebirth of you. You've made good decisions in the past. You've been sensible with money, and you're focused. I see great opportunities for you, and I also feel that it'll be just a new beginning. Are you looking for a relationship? Are you single at the moment?
I am single.
Yeah, because I felt that you were. I feel that this move, this opportunity, the job opportunity, really takes you down a path of fulfillment. And I feel that you'll meet your partner. I'm very drawn to the month of September. You have a grandmother, a grand or great-grandmother named Doris or Dorothy, comes up really clearly in my mind. Do you know your great-grandmother's names?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you know your great-grandmother's names? Because I've got the name Doris or Dorothy coming up really strongly. Mother's side of the family, they've just said.
Oh, it's not easy. I'm just mostly terrified thinking I'm doing the wrong thing.
Well, I've got this lady, it's Doris or Dorothy, and she's on your mother's side of the family, and she's saying, follow the yellow brick road. Oh, Dorothy, okay, as well. The name Dorothy is, it's not Doris, it's Dorothy. But she's saying, follow the yellow brick road, follow the yellow brick road. And I keep on seeing the Ace of Wands, which is the beginning of new enterprise, new distinction, new work opportunities. You don't need to be terrified. All you need to do is focus upon what you truly want to create. It's high time for you to move. And I feel that you'll know exactly where you're going by March. By the 21st of March, they say. 21st of March, you'll know where you're going. Go back to what you enjoy, what you love, what you're most passionate about, your true talents. Focus on that. And you will see. By the 21st of March, you'll be very clear about where you're going, what you're going to. You'll be excited. This is a good year for you. I feel very positive.
Thank you.
Okay, so good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve.
Channel.
Very much needed to hear that. Maureen, are you ready for New Jersey tonight?
New Jersey. Yes,
New
Jersey. I'm New Jersey. Yes, I am. Hi, New Jersey. See how nice is it?
Hi.
And what's your name?
This is Deborah. My
Deborah?
Love life is dead. What do you see for me?
Okay, so I want to make sure. I'm speaking to Deborah, correct?
Yeah, my love life is really like blah.
I know, you feel kind of blah. It's okay. It's all right. Give yourself permission once in a while to feel blah. So what would you like me to focus in on directly? Because it will help me.
What did you, not just my love life, my social life, my life.
Well, people, the thing of it is, people. Because of the time restraint in here, I'm
okay,
not.
Okay, do you see me having someone special in my life?
That's a great
soon.
One. Perfect. Thank you.
That's
and
better.
I'd love to do more, but I know I go and your head would be spinning by the time I did it in the matter of time. Okay, so
okay.
I'm following you. Okay, so let's see. Okay. Deep breath, and I got my sage going. Okay, you know what? My feeling is this. You've had some pretty unfair situations going on previously in matters of the heart. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's just there's been some unjust things. Now, I do see that, you know, I'm going to ask you something. In the past, have you felt that, or did you feel that you got more geared towards somebody that maybe had their life in order, that maybe could make it a little bit easier? You know, a guy with a job. A guy with a job. Now, no offense, guys,
yeah,
out there.
It helps.
Okay, it does help. And in the past, I think you hadn't had that going on. But I do see, you know, I do see you wanting, in some ways, you've been thinking, well, you've been open, but that's a little bit unorthodox, untraditional, and it doesn't work. I do see somebody coming in your direction. It looks like around springtime. This person looks like he comes from somewhere. I don't feel you know him. You may know a little bit of him, but not like you have a strong past relationship or anything like that. But I'm not talking about past lives. But he's coming from an area like where I'm getting like Colorado. There's snow, and I don't know where you're in New Jersey, of course. We're just going on. But this looks like more of a
Colorado,
and he's coming from an area where there's some mountains and snow. And he is really positive. He's very gentle. He's very kind, and he cares about women's feelings. He's going to make for a great partner, or to at least be open to it, because he's also able to make commitments, and that's the key here. And I feel that he travels a bit in his work, and he does offer. He's able to commit. Okay, now are you? I see there's a couple. There's two women. One with dark. Do you have dark? Naturally dark. Is your hair naturally a dark color?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I'm
see a woman
Maryland,
that's lighter in color, who's a very great positive support system for anything to do with helping you supportively with emotional things or matters of the heart, but as a friend, whatever. But I see you studying like a student. It may not be in a conventional way, but you're seeking knowledge, and you're really in a good place right now for that. You're learning a lot more about everything. And it may, like I said, I'm not saying you're going to a regular school sitting there. You know, it may be you're seeking it on your own or in a way. But whatever it is,
I'm studying it on my own.
Oh, you're
doing
fantastic.
A lot of studying it's just, right
you're,
now.
You're like a sponge, Bob. It's like it's really taken in, and it's a really good timing because you're seeking knowledge. Knowledge is power, the good power, okay? Not the bad kind that guns and money bring. But it's really a great timing for you. And by doing this, I think that you're going to be more attracted to somebody that you're not used to, that really is able to commit. Also, that really is kind and sensitive and cares about your feelings. That's the key. And I do see that, but around the spring, I feel late March. It's not late spring. And it looks like he's kind of flies in the picture, but he's for real, and he's lovely, really is. And it'll be interesting for you to be open to this, because it'll feel different. But it's something that I think it's going to be rocky, but I think it's going to be very positive, because it's going to be different. You're going to be attracted to a little bit of a different person, better person, because you're doing some work on knowing your knowledge, getting some knowledge. I think you're doing great.
Thank you. I hope I helped you.
And thank you for calling, Deborah.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
All right. Thank you, Maureen. Brenda, we're going to try New York to see if they answer.
Okay.
Is there someone there from New York?
Hello. New York.
Shout out NY. Nothing. Okay.
I don't hear anything.
Hello. I don't. Oh, wait.
Hello.
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 Are you from New York?
Hi.
Yes, I am.
Brilliant. Well,
oh,
meet
good.
Brenda. Brenda will be helping you tonight.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. What would you like to know this evening?
Right now I'm interested in a particular guy that I spend New Year's with. I knew him from high school. He always had a little crush on me. And I feel like we have, like, tremendous sparks. Although we, you know, text each other almost every day since then. I would just want to know, where is this heading? Is this going to turn out to be a wonderful relationship or not?
Okay, let's take a peek. Let's take a peek. Well, I do see a very special energy around it. I'm getting that from him. He could be a little bit afraid. That's why he's approaching this through mad chatting. I mean, texting, you know. And I believe that this will continue for a while. He's waiting for an opportunity, a special opportunity to come to see you. Has he spoken about that yet?
Yeah, he keeps inviting me places, and I keep it's just bad timing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we still haven't, you know, went out again, and I would love that. I feel like when we were together, it was like this spark. You know, I know I was like always his crush, you know, in high school, but I never saw him that way, and all of a sudden I do see him that way. So
it feels like it's coming back around, and I feel that February is the key month for the two of you to actually see each other face-to-face, and that's really what is needed right now. You've got to see this guy face-to-face. I mean, he's tried, and yes, it's a matter of time, and even on his end as well, and I do see a certain amount of travel time that is involved, too. But I feel that you've got to have to put some of your fears behind you, because this relationship's coming back for a reason. He's thought about you a lot since high school. A lot.
Did
he tell you that?
Yeah, well, he said he had a crush, and I knew that, but, you know, I just looked at it as just a crush. You know, I don't know how intense it was.
Well, I believe that I do see a coming together this year between the two of you. And I do see that this is going to develop into a relationship. It'll start moving faster in February. The second week in February. Look for, and I don't want to like blow his surprise, but look for him to do something special for you on Valentine's Day.
Really?
Yes, he's going to surprise you, and you got to act super surprised. Okay.
You think it'll be a good match for me? Because I just got out of a terrible situation before of a 6-year engagement. So.
I feel, like I said, it's coming your way for a reason. I mean, things just don't drop out of the sky. I feel that he's actually been chosen for you in some way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. All right. You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wonderful, wonderful. You just ruined a huge surprise, probably.
I didn't tell her what it was.
Okay.
Oh, although I saw News at 11. It's going to be on News at 11.
Oh, no.
That's great.
I would never do that.
Hey, North Carolina is on the phone next. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. You just want to get right to the question. Enough of those trivialities. I don't care how the weather is. Let's just get to your question. What's your name first?
Catherine.
Okay, Catherine. What can I do for you? What do you want to talk about?
I've been trying to find a job, and I haven't had any luck so far. So
why not?
I'm kind of unsure as to, like, where to look, pretty much.
Where are you looking right now? What types of jobs are you going out and getting? Or trying to get?
I was looking for, like, cashier jobs.
Why? You're so much better than that.
Well, I haven't really had any luck with the psychic stuff, so...
Well, let's say, so now we're in the middle now. So psychic stuff, you're talking about you want to be a reader, you want to do intuitive readings and that type of thing?
Not anymore. I do better when I have, like, the person, like, in front of me rather than on a phone line.
Sure. But what I'm asking is, so the type of job that you want, though, you would like to be doing something like that full time?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. And then you've got the other end of the scale that being a cashier might be good for some people, but that doesn't fit you at all. Do you see what I mean? What I'm trying to do is guide you into a place where a job is suitable for you. In other words, get you headed into a place where you're going to be happy and also where you're actually going to get a job. You're not getting any of these other types of jobs that you're going for because you don't really resonate with them. You're just kind of going out there and just kind of haphazardly trying to get a job in that direction. I think the psychic stuff or the intuitive stuff, somebody sitting in front of you, I think that you would be wonderful at that. It doesn't necessarily mean that you should go out and do it tomorrow because there might be some other things that you need to do first. But what other types of jobs have you thought about getting, let's say in the real world, because you know the whole psychic intuitive stuff, people look at it like we don't actually do anything real. Like, you know, it's not like a real job. right. And so what type of quote-unquote real job do you want, do you think that you could do that puts you more in touch with people? And I'll offer a suggestion here in just a moment, but I kind of want to guide you towards that, see what you're feeling inside.
I like to take care of people and help people.
Ah, brilliant. There you are. See, that's great. Now, in some of that stuff, can you also feel how taking care of people and being in that position sometimes gets a little heavy on you right now? Do you see what I mean? Like you want to do that. It's passionate, but it also becomes a little heavier. Can you feel that? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so we want to be able to take it a little bit lighter. What if you got into a position that you could help people and still gain more confidence in your social skills? In other words, when you're with someone, you're kind of in that flow and you're helping people, I think your social skills are good, but we want to bring those up a little bit so that you have more confidence in yourself. Now, working at some place, and don't laugh, okay? But working at some place that you can work with customers that come in. You know the flash that I got, and I'm just going to tell you this so that you can get the feeling. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do this unless it appeals to you. But working behind a counter, coffee shop, Starbucks type of thing that really gets social interaction where you're feeling more comfortable being around people, I think is needed for your progress forward. Once you start engaging in more people and more social and more active and being okay and not shutting yourself off a little bit because you avert away from people just a little bit. So you need to kind of come forward and meet them and greet them and stuff. Then you're going to gain more confidence and then the other will start to pick up and the ball will get rolling. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense.
Okay. So that would be the next step because – I think it would you just need something, a type of job. This is what I would look for as a type of job that will bring you out of your shell more. And when that person comes, there's a light that you're going to be able to bring to the table that's going to shine so brightly, and you're going to be able to touch people in so many ways. Not that you haven't, but right now it's selective. So we want to bring that light up to the table. What good is a lighthouse if it only shines on a couple of boats, right? You want to get out there and shine for everyone to see. And I really think something with social interaction, something to bring you out of your shell, is going to make a big difference.
Okay.
Okay? Good luck. Let me know how it goes, all right?
All right.
All right, sweetheart. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. All right, Steve, how about a chat question? Azer in our chat, goes by the name of Azer, wants to know, will my business idea go well?
Okay.
Have you seen it there?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel that Azer's actually got a very innovative business idea. My guides give me the feeling that Azza's really thinking out of the box. This is not a business that other people have thought about. It involves quite a change in lifestyle, and it feels like a very positive opportunity. I also feel like it's very beneficial. So, you know, some people go into business because they want to make money, but I feel that Azza will make money. But it feels that the business proposition is very honorable. It's a good, solid idea and business model that people will appreciate. And I feel that it will be successful. I don't feel it's going to take off overnight. It's going to be something that has to develop gradually. I feel it develops over about the first 14 months. It develops just gradually, step by step, little by little. And then beyond the 14 months, it really starts to grow much more rapidly. And my guides are saying, Azza, feel into it. What you're looking to do is very much about feelings. And my guides say, that's what your business is about. And you must trust the feelings that you have as you work through the process. But I feel that you'll have this up and running by the end of March. I'm given the 29th of March. And I do feel that you'll be successful.
Wow. There you go. Can't ask for any better than that. Thanks, Steve.
Welcome.
All right. Maureen.
That's what they called me.
That's what I said. Maureen-y. Okay. Chat I question?
Yes, I have it here. And it says, okay. You know what? You pronounced that name so lovely. Could you pronounce the name as Old Gray Mare? Oh, I said, there you have it. I said it right. Oh, Gray Mare. Will my finances start looking up in 2012, possibly a new job? Excellent direct question. Thank you so much for doing, as we had mentioned, it's the best. So I will answer that question. If you can give me your first name, you don't have to. But I'll just go by Old Gray Mare. Is that right? Okay, Old Gray Mare. I love that, but I pronounced it right, which is great. But if you want to put your first name in there, I'll address it later. But as I read. Okay, this is what I'm getting. I'm getting that we like that name, and I don't know what it means, but I feel you've gone through a very slow transition. It's not a change. It's a very slow process. It's what I call rebuilding your foundation, and it has to do with being, usually comes out of chaos, but it's the most important thing anybody could do for themselves. Most people don't have the courage to do it. What's happened is I see, and it's almost, you're almost through it, and it's uncomfortable where you don't know how to word it, but you've rebuilt what's going to work for you now, and this is what's going to be the best thing about everything is possible for you, but it's about values and your morals and your beliefs, the word I don't like, but beliefs. Everything is on based on what you works for you, not what you're conditioned with. So you're almost through with that. You have an extreme amount of vision. You're like in between worlds, I call it, a person that's in between worlds, or the ability to be in between. Your vision is fantastic. I feel that you need to get back into a hobby of some sort of work that you used to do, a project that you used to do a long time ago. And maybe, because I do feel that it would, if you got back into it, picked it back up, I see you working with your hands, some creative, it would be materially satisfying. You would, I'm not saying, you know, you'd be extremely rich from it, but I feel it would be very satisfying, and I see you working more in a creative sense for your own self in your work. Now, of course, I think, you know, you could go any direction if you want to, finances and job, but I see you being very, very successful on your own, especially by September, and I feel that I see you outside. There's a lot of plants and flowers. It's beautiful, and you're able to sit outside, do work, everything. It's lovely. I feel that staying away from the male energy with any type of work is the best thing for you. And no offense, male man, okay? So the new job, I feel you can get any job. You could land any job, but I feel that your real job I'm picking up on, and I see you be very successful, is something that I see you doing on your own that you would know of, that maybe you'd started 8 years ago as a hobby. Hope that helps and made sense, but there you have it.
It was Julie. She actually wrote her name in. So it was
Julie. Julie. Okay, hi. Is Julie, not Julie. But Julie.
Right.
There you go, Julie. And I'm glad.
No, not Julie. Sorry, Julie.
Yeah, not. Okay, let's go on. I'm glad it's a woman because I wasn't sure if it was, but yes, I see you really doing well on your own. I don't know if you even realize how much you have creatively to offer. There you go.
Brilliant. Yeah. And there you have it.
Good night.
Brenda, up next, chat room question. Did you see Maggie's question in there?
Yes, I do. I see it. She wants to know if Vivian will call her for another interview. Let's take a peek here. Oh, wow. Wheel of Fortune is on this. I do believe that this is going to turn in your favor, Maggie. And I also see it, and it's going to result in money. So it is an offer is coming from it. From this interview, an offer is coming. There's also going to be some kind of a little bit of different duties. You'll be a little bit more creative in this position. And so, you know, don't get too stressed out about, oh, no, is this ever going to happen? Because it's on its way. And I'm seeing about 2 weeks is what I'm seeing. Because in the past it didn't work out doesn't mean it's not going to work out this time. I'm seeing with this new opportunity and the new money that comes in, you're going to be able to solve an immediate problem. And the immediate problem looks like it is a financial problem. And that's what I see. The answer is yes.
Just like that. I was waiting in case you had something
that's
else.
It. No, that's it in a nutshell.
Brilliant.
No shells and nutshells.
I know.
Well, listen, just want to thank all of my co-hosts and everyone who tuned in. It was a very successful evening with Linda Howe joining us and the Akashic Records. Just another thing to learn about in this whole just huge gambit of things to rely on, and just one of the more tools that we can use. And I think it was very, very fascinating. Now, Maureen, you've got a show coming up next week, right, on next Thursday.
Yes, I've already traveled to that. Yes, it's called Exploring Out of Body. Well, actually, the title is Out of – I'm sorry. I live at the beach. The Harleys are coming through, you guys. It's called Out of Body Exploring. I'll be right out, guys. It's called Out of Body Exploring, and my guest is Preston Denton, and I was on his show many years ago. He has on BBC. He's a really well – established, a very great guy, and he's written a lot of books. It'll be a fantastic show, and it'll be very easy to follow, and it's a great subject. So there, yeah, go. I was going to say, there you have it. There you go. So,
all right. Very good. All of us also will be on Psychic Access immediately after the show, with the exception of Lady Brenda, who stays up until the darkest hours of the evening, and will be there available for you later. But meanwhile, on behalf of Steve... On behalf of Steve,
unmute.
I'm not unmute, but am I hosting next week?
No, I just said on behalf of Steve. I was saying goodnight.
I'm sorry. I thought you were. Yes, he is. I thought you were suggesting I was hosting next week's show. And I was thinking,
yes,
that's a surprise.
Let's just say
he is.
It's
the dating game. We all line up and throw a kiss.
That's,
you know,
right.
It's that part of the show.
Kisses to everybody.
Steve and Brenda.
Thanks, Bobby.
And Maureen.
Great show. Great, fantastic show. And I'm doing
Thank you.
Everybody have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thanks again for joining us here on Psychic Access Talk Radio. Thanks so much. Tune in next week, same time, same channel. Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.